Ephesians tonight, chapter 4, and this is going to be teaching and preaching. I call it treaching, and we're going to do a little bit of both of them, and I'm going to try to take my time. I would that you give me your attention. You know, tonight is Super Bowl night, and I tell you, they'll gather together in a stadium, and they'll act crazy, and they'll all worship, and they'll all do all these different things to their gods. But we're here tonight, and let's take our time with the Word of God. I don't know, but I want to know more about the things of God. Amen. And I don't know if there's ever been a man that's really mastered this book. It is amazing, isn't it? You know, men that study it their whole lives still find things in it that are interesting and are wholesome. But tonight, we're going to kind of do a study or a preaching out of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through 13. If you get there, just give me a good amen. Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 13. This is what it says. Ephesians 4 and 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You notice that? God's given us all a measure of grace. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, notice this, the fivefold ministry or the fivefold gift. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Notice that, five different gifts there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I desire to know the fullness of Christ. Not some partial view, not some partial experience, but I desire to know the fullness of Christ, and there's a way we can do that as a church. Well, tonight I'm going to preach to you or talk to you about the ascension gifts, or that's what they're called, the ascension gifts, or Christ's ministry gifts. That's what is labeled when you begin to study the Bible, these different things. But let's pray together and ask God to open our eyes to this. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, God, and we do ask you to help us as we enter into your holy and divine word. We need your anointing, dear God. We need you to touch us as a church. We need you, God, to stimulate our hearts. God, open our ears, open our eyes, Lord. Let us look into the portals of your word, God, understanding what the author meant here, God. What is the gifts unto the church from Jesus? We ask you today, God, to help us, anoint us, give us wisdom and understanding of your divine word. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' holy and divine name. Well, we come to this part in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, and you'll notice before verse 7, as you begin to study this, that Paul right here is really dealing a lot with unity. He deals with things throughout his writings. He talks about the unity of the body. He talks about one spirit, the unity of the spirit. He talks about how we're all one body, one spirit. And all these different things, Paul's beginning to deal with unity. But then he comes here to Ephesians 4 and 7, and he says something like this, but he says, there's a measure, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everybody in this room tonight, if you acknowledge it or not, or if you facilitate it or not, everybody in this room tonight, there is a gift that has been given unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the Godhead. We got to understand today, have you ever heard of that word, a calling? Amen. You know what's missing in a lot of our churches? Men and women that know the call of God on their life. God's never intended for us just to come to church and guesstimate and wonder what we are supposed to be and supposed to become in the house of God. You'd be surprised today, even if there was somehow we could see, and there's no way that we can, but only God knows, but you'd be amazed today on how many people are sitting on our church pews throughout the church world that are outside of the will of God or has missed the full plan of God for their life. Because somewhere, some area of life, they didn't pray through. They didn't say yes. They didn't open themselves up to the Holy Ghost and their potential and things that God desired to do through them. I'm telling you, friend, we got to be cautious and make sure that we are seeking to know and do the will of God. Here today, when we're dealing with this, the fivefold ministry gifts that we read in Ephesians chapter 4, and which also are called the Ephesian gifts and also Christ's ministry gifts, the gifts spoken of in this verse are gifts that are given after Christ ascended into heaven. This is important to know because it shows us that they have a very close connection with Christ's ascension and also with the exaltation of Him being seated at the right hand of the Father. These are gifts that God and that Jesus Christ has given the church. How many people know it's important to have the gifts of the ministry in your church? You'll understand, and we'll talk about them in a few moments. There's three places in the Bible that the gifts or different gifts are mentioned. We have in Romans, we have in Corinthians, and we have right here. How many knows that it's important to have the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our churches? The Bible tells us to seek for them. As you saw, have you sought for them recently? Amen. Nine different gifts. I'll tell you how God dealt with me on it one time. I ain't telling you to do this, but God dealt with me on it one time. And I was praying one day, and you can call it what you want, but I was praying in front of my heart. There's nine gifts. And I thought to myself, I at least can give 9 days of fasting, one for each gift, to at least start to understand what God wants to do in my life, to be accessible and open that the Spirit of God can flow through me. We need the gifts of the Spirit in our church. And in a church that does not have the gifts in operation, I know there's... We ain't to exalt one over the other. I know that charity is important. It's important to have love. But I tell you this, charity and love never took place of the gifts. But the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to be operated through the Spirit of love. We've got to understand that. God desires for everybody in this room to seek for the fullness of Christ, for the fullness of the Holy Ghost, that in gifts can be an operation in our churches and in our lives. And if you do not seek for those gifts, hear me today, friend, it's important you need to start seeking for them now. If not, either you didn't read the Bible and understand that, you didn't read the Bible and put that to application in your life, or something is wrong. We are to seek for the gifts of the Spirit, because if you don't seek for them, the world's not going to seek for them. If you don't operate in them, who's going to operate in them? We are earnestly to desire the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hear me today, friend. But then when we come here to the book of Ephesians, there are some other gifts that are given to the church. We read about these gifts such as, it says, apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. We know that these are gifts that are given to the church. And it's important that we have these also in operation within the body of Christ. Now, something I want to point out difference about these gifts than those of the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts right here are not to be sought for as much as you are called to do them. You cannot seek to be an apostle. You cannot seek to be a prophet. You cannot seek to be a pastor. You cannot seek to be a teacher or an evangelist. These are callings. These are things that God is specifically chooses a man, and He says, I want this individual right here. I want this person right here. Or I want this man right here. But I can say this today. I believe there's been a lot more of these that should have been in operation in the world. I wonder how many men that should be preaching today that never said yes to the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many people that should be evangelists today never had the nerve nor the decency or the understanding to push aside flesh, to push aside career, to push aside everything else, to reach into the deepness of God's Spirit, and then to hear the voice of the Almighty say, look, who is going to go for them and go for me? And somebody like Isaiah say, Lord, here am I, send me. Amen. We often say, Lord, here am I, send them. But I wonder today, Has people in the church, when I say the church world, you know what I mean? People are missing the mark when it comes to the call of God. And look, I want to talk about this today to you because it is important. We need all of this in operation in our churches. That's why I believe, even as a church here, it is important to have fellowship with other churches of like faith. Look, I know there's a lot of crazy mess going on out there, and I'm not saying we should just accept. You know good and well, I hope you know me enough now that I disagree with this mess going on in the world nowadays and with this neo-Pentecostal movement. I disagree with that. But I heard before, I hear people say before, where there's not no more Pentecostal churches out there, there's holiness. I could take you to hundreds, if not thousands, of churches that believe stricter, or if not stricter than us, that believe in the moving of the Spirit. I want to let you know today, friend, that we're not alone. God still has a remnant in this world. God still has a people in this world. God never meant for the Abundant Life Tabernacle to be an island all by itself. No, friend. There's supposed to be an outflux in our church, but also there should be an influx into our church. There should be something inside of us that the gifts of the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, these things ought to be something that we have that is a part of us. There is a danger, my friend, if a church ever cuts itself off from the fellowship of the body of Christ, then we begin to see there's a deterioration, there's a dismovement of these gifts that we're talking about here. And this is what Paul was talking about here in the Bible. He was letting us know, as the body of Christ, there is one Spirit, there is one body, there is one God. That is something we need to understand. But then he goes on to let us know that even though we are one in body and one in spirit, there are different gifts that are given to different individuals. Everyone in this room today, you've got something God wants you to do. There's a will in your life that only you can fulfill. I can't do it as your pastor. Your neighbor can't do it. If you're young today, you're a teenager or older, understand, mommy and daddy can't do it. You've got to do it. You've got to pray through. You've got to ask God what it is. You've got to let God speak to you. You've got to make the decisions. Everybody in this room today, what does God want you to do? What's your calling on your life? And are you fulfilling what God wants you to do? Man, I've been in some churches, you got people that ain't called to do something and they're doing it. Hey, man. Just shove people in positions. Don't even know if they're called to do it. James says, don't let there be many masters. James cautions us, said, don't let there be many teachers among you, because there's going to be a greater judgment for those that say they're doing something. I would today that I would analyze myself as a pastor, from the Sunday school teachers to singing to everything in this congregation, all of us together. We need to analyze ourselves. Are we doing the will of God or not? Are we fulfilling the call of God or not? What does God want me to do? And if He wants me to do it, am I trying to do it to the best of my ability? Amen. Sometimes you can get called to do something and you can get stale trying to do it. You ever seen people lose steam, lose fuel, lose desire, lose understanding? Hallelujah. My Lord, I've had to ask God a few times since I've been preaching this great gospel. There's been a few times I've had to get on my knees and I've noticed that the spark that was there that propelled me so quickly. I've had to ask God, Lord, do it again, Jesus. Do it again, Lord. Remind me of the call. Refreshing the zeal in my spirit. Reignite the flame in my heart. Just like a Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. That's the idea of taking something and trying to cultivate a fire in that spirit. Hear me today, friend. We've got some saints that have been smoldering for years that need a good dose of the Holy Ghost that could stir them up, that could stir them out, that they could be influential, that they could touch hearts, that they could see fruit, they could see souls saved. We've got to make sure we're doing the call of God in our lives. And if you're not called to do something, quit doing it and figure out what God wants you to do. Is that too harsh? It's just the Bible. I'd get worried if I'd never seen anything prosper or fruit. I'd worry. I'd worry. And I understand it ain't always in numbers and growth. But my friend, sometimes I didn't see no growth, but I seen something flourish inside one person's heart or two people's heart. Let it be something that I know I seen God working. So here in these ascension gifts, we understand that God gave us these. He lets us know, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it that He should also descend at first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that He might fill all things. So here we understand this. This is a picture here of Jesus, and He almost as a military conqueror, leading His captives up into the sky, or leaving captivity captive, sharing the spoils with His followers. Only in this case, my friend, these captives here are not His enemies, but these captives here are those that came from a kingdom of darkness. They were captive in sin. They were captive of this world. But aren't you glad to know that today we're in a different captivity? I'm with Paul today that says, look, I'm not ashamed of these chains that I'm bound to Christ with. I know today day that He rescued me from sin, and I serve a new master, and His name is Jesus, and I'm bound to Him. I'm captivated by Him. I feel the pull of His Spirit. I feel the dealings of His Word. I know that He's watching me and dealing with me. I'm telling you today, friend, you're not free to do what you want today, but you are a prisoner and a slave and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in the Bible, you probably know this, where the Bible says James, a servant of, or Paul, a servant of, or Jude, a servant of. That word servant in the Bible translated is the word slave. That's what that word means there. It lets us know here that bond servant, that man that has an ear that has been punched out for him. You study the Bible about bond slave. You find in the Old Testament when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of captivity, and out of slavery, He brings them to Mount Sinai. He doesn't say, look, you can do what you want to do. Basically, through His commandments, He's letting them know, look, you were a slave to Egypt. You were a bondservant to Egypt, but now you ain't free to do what you want to do. You're now a bondservant to the God of heaven, the God Jehovah. Let me tell you today, friend, Jesus didn't save you out of sin for you to get out of a jail free card and do what you want to do. No, friend. When Jesus saved you out of sin, you've got a brand new master. You got a brand new person in your life that's going to lead you and guide you. It gives you gifts. But can I say this? He's the best master I ever had. When I was in sin, man, He was a cruel taskmaster. The devil didn't care what I thought. The devil didn't care what I felt. But I serve a master now that's 20 times millions better than the world. It's better than what I was doing. I've got the best master in the whole entire world. Amen. I can look at the world and say, my master's better than yours. I mean, good benefits too. I read about this, and this is not even nowhere. I don't know where we're going this direction, but Lord help us. But I read about the slaves in the time of Rome one time. I did a study on it. And I read about the slaves in the time of Rome. There were some of the Roman bond servants there. What they would do, they would work for their master, and sometimes they lived better than those out there in the world. Even though they were in slavery, some of them lived in beautiful homes and had wonderful tasks they would do for their master. It's a different type of slavery than the image we have in America. But it was actually a pleasant thing. They made decent money. They had a decent place to live. But some of them, when it came time for some of them bond servants to be freed in Rome, some of them would look at their master and say, please don't let me leave. Amen. I want to stay here and be your slave. I'm telling you, you can look at God and I tell the Lord, Lord, there's nowhere else I want to go. This is the best captivity in my life. Ain't nothing like being a slave for Jesus. Ain't nothing like being a bondservant to Him. There were some of the slaves at that time in the Roman Empire that loved their master so much, they would even get their master's name on their tombstone. You ever been to a graveyard and see somebody's tombstone with a Bible verse? Amen. Somebody you really knew died, born again. And you know what it was? They were just saying, look, I was a slave to a good master. And His name is Jesus. Amen. So not only has He led captivity captive, but understand the Bible tells us that He gave gifts unto men. There are three lists of spiritual gifts given in the New Testament. I've already mentioned this, but in 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote that some of the gifts are more important than others, but all believers are needed if the body is to function normally. Even though some gifts may have a deeper meaning or a bigger meaning here, all of these gifts are important. And Paul taught that Christ is the giver of these gifts through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit. We'll read and study the context of His writings. So step number one today, in being in the will of God, we've got to make sure we are desiring and we are filled with that sweet Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. Sometimes people do not get the gift of the Holy Ghost because they seek after the gifts and they never sought the giver. Amen. I've met some people who've been seeking for tongues for 20 years. Ought not be, my friend. Didn't the Bible say that a lot? This ought not be. You ought to seek the giver. I declare unto you today, and I can say this underneath unction and assurity, if you get close enough to the giver, I promise you, you will get the gift. Old Darrell Turner's an old missionary evangelist, a powerful man of God. He talked about when he was seeking the giver, is what he titled it. He said, man, I was just a seeking the giver. He would get one vacation, he worked somewhere up in the mountains, he would get one vacation a year, and old Darrell Turner there, he He would take that 7-day vacation. He would go rent a hut up in the mountains. And for 7 days, he wouldn't eat food or drink water. And he said, but I found the giver. I found the giver. He said, I don't even know if that's safe or not nowadays. They tell you not to go so many days without drinking water if you're fat. I don't know. But notice this today. He found the giver. And ever since then, he's helped change nations and do different things. I'm telling you today, friend, there's one that lay captivity captive. But you need not to seek these gifts today. You get close to the giver, you'll find your calling. You'll find your fulfillment. You'll find your filling. You've got to find the giver in his totality. Don't be content with a partial touch. Don't be content with being ankle deep or loin deep. But find the waters that is over your head. Get in there, get lost in the Spirit, and God will speak to you. The deeper life. God has trouble speaking to us nowadays. I'm talking to me, you, all of us. Shouldn't be that way. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. The Bible tells us. We should be able to hear the Spirit of God. It shouldn't be every other Easter that we hear God speak to us. Shouldn't be every other camp meeting. I was at camp meeting, God spoke to my heart. And I worry about people who say God spoke to them and never knows nothing He says. They can't tell you where they were. And they don't know too much about what God said this and strange things. Things you don't even understand. But I'm telling you, there's been a lot of times. Look, I've had God speak to me as an individual. The day He called me to preach. I've had Him different times. I felt unction and leadings. And hey, look, I'm not that charismatic mentality today to say it happens every single day. But I'm telling you, hundreds of times, God spoke to me right here. The Spirit took me right here. The closer I got to the giver, I read His words and God began to speak to my heart. And the Word was something that illuminated the path that I was supposed to take. So we have to understand today that every man in here has a gift. In order to find that gift, you don't seek the gift, but you seek who? The giver. And not only that, when you do finally get what God is doing in your life, I want to encourage you with this today because it helped me. When you finally know, when you put forth the effort, you put forth the energy, you set aside this, and finally you find the giver, you find the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you find the calling, you find the gifts that God wants in your life. I want to tell you this today, God will give you grace to do the gift. Amen. There's been a few times I've looked at the mountains of uncertainty in ministry, and I said, God, I don't have a clue how I'm going to do that. But I almost look up to heaven. It's almost like the Lord looks back to me and says, grace, grace, grace. Grace is that very thing Paul talks about here that can also empower us. Each ministry is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Please note that it is measured out or given by degree. These five ministries are not giving in the fullness all to one man, so it wasn't the life of Christ and maybe a few other men, but are destined to dispense and disperse to various men who are to work in unity for the sake of the whole entire body, working in the grace of God to do that calling in which God has given us. Apostles, prophets, we're going to get into this. I want your attention here, please. And I know you are listening. I'm just saying, I want you to catch this. And Paul says this. He says, well, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Notice that. He says that in Ephesians 3. Well, I was made a minister. Paul said this, I was made a minister. Amen. Look, you were fearfully and wonderfully made the day God created you. But God is still fearfully and wonderfully making me all the time. Right now, today, I'm still made a minister. I have not chosen a calling, but I am made a minister. Notice Paul goes on to say, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, with that word dunamis there, Paul is very clear in making known to us that he's a minister by receiving the gift of Christ, the gift of grace, and by the effectual working of power in his life. He's saying, look, I couldn't do it alone. I still can't do it alone. It's the grace and the gift and the power of God that keeps me. Amen. God's still keeping me today. And God will keep you if you stay in Christ. Now we're going to look at this. Grace is God's ability. Grace is the grace of God is the ability of God. Paul goes to great lengths to make sure this is understood. Those called to do public ministry are granted the gracious gift of Christ, which operates by the power of God. No vessel can minister apart from this gift of grace of Christ. And so the power of God operates through a vessel to manifest and minister to the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. These five gifts here that are given unto the church should still be in operation to this day. Now, when we come to these five gifts, there is a multitude of decisions and ideas about this. But I want to reiterate this. If I hadn't said it 1,000 times since I've been here, I approach this from a Pentecostal theology. Yes, the Baptists will tell you here that we no longer need the apostolic ministry in our churches. And look, I would agree with them when we look at this gift of apostles. I do know that the first 12 apostles were the apostles of the Lamb. And also I understand that they had a unique ministry. The first 12 apostles, we know that followed Jesus and in Matthew's, there was a replace in Acts chapter 1. They had a unique ministry that can never be duplicated, that can never be mimicked, that can never be redone. They laid a foundation with their blood, sweat, and tears. Every one of us except the apostle John was martyred. They laid a foundation. Hear me today, friend. We will never be able to duplicate the ministry that's already been laid, the foundation that's already been laid. But I will say this today, the apostolic ministry is still needed in this world. When I read this, the word apostles here means sent ones, or a delegate, or an ambassador, a commissioner. And even one commentary would say the admiral of a fleet of ships. The first apostles I've already mentioned to you had a special ministry. But hear me today, but weren't these the only apostles in that age and in this world? There were other apostles who were also appointed at the ascension of Christ, which were called ascension apostles to distinguish them from the 12. And we careful search will find throughout the Bible there at least 24 to 28 other apostles mentioned in the New Testament. So I tell you today, these men were used to lay doctrinal foundations. They were used to build upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And tell you today, friend, they are still needed today. Now, if you come to me and tell me you read a new book of the Bible, I'm going to say you're wrong. Because that ministry of the apostles is closed. But as far as the idea of laying the foundation, not anew, but of making sure the foundation is still established. One of the beautiful things about the apostles, and I could give you probably many different names here, but I'm not going to go into that. If you want a deeper study on this, come to me and I'll print it all for you. There's so much in here. I could preach 2 weeks on this, I promise you. I'm telling you, as I look in this, one of the ministries of the apostles was that idea of laying doctrinal foundation. Yes, I'm not saying add to the foundation that's already laid, but making sure that in this world, there's still the ministry. Ministry of the apostolic epistles, the different things, making sure they're still in this world. When we come here, understand this today, Paul said something like this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I'm not telling you here today that you need to go lay your own foundation. I'm telling you today, the ministry of the apostles now is when they take the Bible and the already established foundation, and they start building on that and making sure that it's laid properly, and they start building upon that. The apostles' idea of faith, when you study in this, into the context of the word, you've got to get past the English sometime. You've got to look into the Greek. You've got to dissect these words here. The apostles were architects. They were men that laid that faith there. And as an apostle, Paul said he was a master builder, and that word there means almost like an architect. It means one who directs a work for a plan. Paul is the most unique man in doing this, so the apostles today are still needed to help build upon the foundation that is already laid. Build on. If I had confusion and lost you there, we'll go to the next one. Prophets. Do you think the ministry of the prophets are all done away with? Now, when you study the Bible, many Baptist commentators would tell you that John the Baptist was the last prophet. That yes, he was the last in the manner of the Old Testament prophets. You look at the John the Baptist, and he's just like the ones in the Old Testament. He's just like those ones. But that word prophet here means one who speaks forth, or which it is sees things yet to come to pass. In the Old Testament, the prophets were somebody that were pretty predominant. They were called seers, men who received divine revelation by visions. The Old Testament word for prophet, which is nigh-by, means shababa, to means a bubbling forth. It means a mouthpiece for God. They spoke what they heard. And even you read, there was women prophets in the Bible. You ever heard of Deborah, Miriam? You also have Isaiah's wife and Anna. There was prophets that were even women. But when we come to the New Testament, there's some very unique things about prophets in the Bible in the New Testament. The prophet's function with the church included the following. He was to comfort and to edify. He was supposed to be a spirit-filled proclaimer and an interpreter of the Word of God. He was a man that could still see with the help of God. When he felt the impulses of the Spirit on his life, he could see things that the world could not see. There was things that he would speak about. We read about that even in the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, about those that are the prophets and when they prophesied. And we understand this today, that prophets are still needed in this age. I know that word there is almost became a slang in the charismatic movement because you have these self-proclaimed prophets everywhere. There's some people that talk to God more than they talk to humans. You know, I mean, I'm saying in the form. I mean, I've said it before. You know, some guys, they'll get on TBN or something and they just have these divine prophetic revelations. They've been fishing with Jesus. They play football with Jesus. They eat cereal with Jesus. Everything. That's not the role of the prophet. The prophetic gift that is given unto the church is when God uses somebody, He takes that prophet there and He begins to speak to them. He exercises the gift of prophecy. He was at times a seer. There's times that God has used men to see things in the future. But I'm telling you, my friend, we've got to make sure that these gifts are still available to the church and we need them here in abundant life. I'm not saying be a self-proclaimed prophet and come out with some crazy thing. But I can tell you, you can come out of a prayer closet and God can speak to your heart. You can come to church and you can say, look, God's been dealing with my heart. We need to fast and pray because I feel like something's about to happen. Carter Conlon, who's now the pastor of a big church, but Carter Conlon one time, they were having service, and this just gives you a small idea to what I feel like God allows people to go through and deal with. Carter Conlon there one day, he was praying, he pastors a big church, and one day Carter Conlon said the Lord would not even let him preach. He said he got up in the pulpit and he said, all I could do was weep and cry. Weep and cry. And he said he sat there and the congregation's looking at him, and you know what, they begin to weep and cry. And he said, this went on. He said, periodically throughout different times, the Holy Ghost would come so strongly in their services that all of a sudden everybody would just sit there and he would have to call the church forth and they would enter into hours of agonizing prayer, praying through tears and all these different things. And he said, he didn't know. He knew God was preparing them for something and he was telling them, God's about to do something. God's trying to show us something. So this would go on different times. They would meet together, pray and cry and pray and cry. But then all of a sudden, one day on September the 11th, I believe it was 2001, what happened? Trade towers. And all of a sudden, the trade towers fell. And Carter Conlon, when he got the news of this, he came out of his office, he came into the sanctuary, and there were some of the saints were there praying. And he told them, he said, have you heard what just happened? And everybody began to panic, and everybody began to be in an uproar. And he said, you better stop where you're at right now. He said, God's been moving on us for about 6 months and talking to our hearts. He said, go to the kitchen, start making sandwiches. God was preparing us for this moment. He said they were able to make, I forget how many thousand sandwiches, and was able to take them sandwiches to those on the streets that were so despondent and such despair. I'm telling you, church, could God still do that for us at Abundant Life? Could it be that there's some services that God just wants us to listen? God wants our ears. And God wants our time. That ministry of the prophets is a gift unto the church. We can do a deeper study in another time. But then there's also the gift of evangelist. Now we have a warped view of this in America. evangelist, when we look this word up in the Bible, we would understand that the New Testament evangelist was a declarer of the good news. Nowadays, we think of evangelists. When I tell you that I evangelized for a year, I tell you that I traveled from church to church and I preached. But at times, that could have been more underneath the ministry of prophecy or underneath the ministry of different ministries that could work there. But an evangelist is a man that goes out and tells the good news. We need to do that on our streets. You don't need a camper and a fifth wheel to do that. You just need to listen to the voice of God. Evangelists, yes, we are needed in the churches. Yes, there are evangelists that travel the good news of salvation. But also evangelists are supposed to be those that go out, proclaim the good news of salvation to the unsaved and to help establish new works in cities. When proclaimed, it also carries with it to offer the power of salvation. The ministry of the evangelist is special and they're still needed today. When we read the Bible, we read about Philip the evangelist. When the Bible begins to introduce that to us, you'll find that I believe it's in Acts 21 and 8, if I'm not mistaken. But you'll remember that Philip the evangelist, you'll find in Acts chapter 8, you'll find there that when Saul was reaping havoc on the church, we know that Philip the evangelist, he went to Samaria. And what happened when he went to Samaria? The Bible gives us a list of things. He preached the word. We know that he went there and Philip preached the gospel to Christ. Many were saved and baptized in water. Signs, miracles, and healings and deliverance from evil spirits and demons accompanied his preaching. He was there. Even new converts got filled with the Holy Ghost. That should be the ministry of the evangelist. We as a church should have the gift of evangelism working through us in such a way that we can go out in these streets and we can see people delivered from demons. We can see people saved, and we can see people baptized. But the spirit of evangelism is slowly but surely disappearing from the Pentecostal movements. It's still a gift that God wants in His church. Then we go on to read about the next one. And the next one is one that's pretty tough on me. It's called pastors. And that word pastor there simply means it is an overseer. This is a gift to the church. Pastors are those who oversee and care for spiritual needs of the local congregation. Some of them are called elders or bishops. You'll find at times there can be multiple pastors if the congregation is big enough. But the task of pastors is to do this, to proclaim sound doctrine, to refute heresy, and to teach God's Word and exercise leadership in a church, to help oversee families. We still need good pastors in this world. And I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm saying I need God to help me. Thank God for His grace. Whew. God's grace helps us in all these areas. So there, pastors are needed. The pastor is essential to God's purpose for His church. The church which fails to select godly and faithful pastors will cease to be governed by the will of God. And when we cease to know the mind of God, I've got to make sure as a pastor that I make sure I know the mind of God for this church. Guess what? I feel the pressure. I've got to make sure I know the will of God for every move. I'm a slow to move type guy. It's just the way I am. And I know that works good. And I know some guys that are so fast on the feet that it just doesn't work too well all the time. But they're good in other areas. But I'm the kind of guy that I ask God, lead me. I want to make sure, God, make sure You're guiding and leading me. Notice the last gift is this. That is the gift of teachers. Teachers are those who have special God-given gift to clarify, expound, and proclaim God's Word in order to build up the body of Christ. The special task of teachers is to guard by the help of the Holy Ghost the gospel entrusted to them. They are faithful to point the church to a biblical revelation and to the original message of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a gift. Not every church has had these, my friend. And there's some churches that like to magnify two of them and leave the other three out. God doesn't desire that for us. God wants us all to know these gifts are for us. As we move along in this, and I'll try not to take much longer. But then we get into this. We have the five gifts of ministry. But then the purpose of gifted ministries. Ephesians 4 and 12 says this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word perfecting there means restoring, putting in order, fitting, repairing. This is a process which leads to a finished goal. This is the primary purpose why God set in place these ministries in the body of Christ. We need them because we need to enter into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? The teaching of God's Word is important. But also the ministry of the evangelist is equally important. We still need those men. And even though I know the term apostles sometimes, if you want to move that word out and say foundation layer, or a man that builds upon foundation, we still need men that can go out and establish the message in unreached regions of the world. Everybody can't do that. I could take you to the Rift Valley and prove that it was tough. And still, it takes special men with a calling to do those things. Not everybody can do it. But we also need pastors and overseers. I know I'm the pastor here, and I'm not saying these things because I'm the pastor and trying to toot my own flute. I'm not doing that. I'm preaching what the Word says. But I needed pastors all throughout my life. I still need men of God to show me and help me. And guess what? I need you. And I don't know if you realize it now, I'm sure you do, but you need me. We need this. Overseers, pastors, teachers. Thank God for Brother Glenn and different ones that have such ability to teach the Word of God, because every church does not have that. Because He does this, God gave us these gifts for the perfecting and the restoring and the putting in the order of the church. And the Bible goes on to say this, and this is where we're going to leave off at. It says this, till we all come. Notice this. These gifts are given for the perfection, and only also for this, till we all come into the unity of faith. You know what, church? Our faith has to be unified. There's so many isms and schisms in the church, it's disgusting. It started years ago in the Pentecostal movement. Assemblies of God, Church of God, divided. Over the simple reason of sanctification. Is it secondary? Is it progressive? And they argued about it. And in reality, they believe the same thing, just in different wordings. Never should be. We have to make sure our faith is in likeness. That's why God has given us these gifts. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. What the Bible's saying is, He gave us these gifts so some of us could grow up. That's what the Bible's saying. We don't need to be children. Saved this week, not saved this week. Lukewarm this week, not lukewarm this week. Want to see somebody saved this week? Don't have the same burden next week. Seeking for the Holy Ghost this week? I don't know if I'm going to seek Him this week. To, throw, up, down. We should have a faith that is so settled and unified in this church that when God wants to open it up and pour in His full provision, all of us can be sitting here with our mouths wide open as God flows in us and can flow out of us. That's why God gave us these gifts. Even at times when it is tough. There's been many times my toes got stepped on and I had to say, Amen, Lord. It's just the way it is. Thank God for a man to step on my toes occasionally. I love it. I love the gospel. It brings us no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What Paul is describing here, he said these gifts are given so we as the body of Christ can come into maturity as a body. You know, there's nothing wrong with the head of the church. His name is Jesus. You ever heard the old saying? My cousin Adam, some of you met him, he was born with a big head. And he thinks it's funny. I think it's funny. He had a humongous head when he was born. And the old saying was, Adam's body still trying to grow into his head. Trying to catch up with his head is the old saying. I dare say, you know what we're waiting on the church world to do? Trying to catch up with the head of Christ, a head of the body. His name is Jesus. He don't have to mature anymore. We need to mature. He has full provision. We understand this today. This is what Paul desired for us to understand. And as we look at this today, and I'm going to close here. I know I've kind of preached a little longer than maybe I should. The fivefold ministry, as my wife comes to the piano, and we're going to pray tonight, and we pray tonight, we're going to pray for the church. The fivefold ministry, and this is not my original thought, but this is just basically an article. And this article shows a hand that's just like this. And many of you may have heard or come across this before, But it talks about the importance of the fivefold ministry. They tie it back to 1 Kings 18 and 44, where Elijah saw the cloud the size of what? Man's hand. And this may be stretching it further than most like, but I like the idea. Elijah and them was in a famine. I mean, that land needed rain. But that fivefold ministry, that hand-sized cloud, was the answer to their needs. Had all the rain in it. The fivefold ministry. And this is, I'm going to read to you and then we'll pray. These five ministries are the hand of God, who function together to accomplish the work of God. Yet they are not the whole body, but only part. It is possible to have a living body without hands, but it will not correctly function as a body or be effective. Churches that reject one, two, three of these ministries. These believers are genuinely born again, but restricting these ministries, denying their existence and the function of the fruit they lack as a result. Of course, there are those who are caught up in the realm of the apostles and the prophets, which believe in these five ministries, but are in delusion. And in this article, it simply says this. My microphone died, so we'll use this. Amen. So when we read it, it describes these five ministries as this. It says, the apostle is the thumb. It is the only one that can move with agility and comfort across all the fingers and always work in unison with each finger. It says the prophet is the index finger. It is the one that we normally point with. And it says you can almost imagine that prophet pointing and saying, thus saith the word of the Lord. But then it goes on to say the evangelist is the middle finger. It stretches out further than all the rest. It is a perfect picture of the evangelist who stretches further for souls than anybody else. But it says the pastor is the ring finger. Is the court the one that carries the token of marriage? It carries the testimony of a beautiful love bond between Christ and His bride. This best picture is a pastor or shepherd in ministry. But it says the teacher is the little finger. It is unique in its smallness. It has the ability to get in places none of the other fingers can get. Isn't it amazing how what teachers can do and how far they can go in the Word? We need all five of these gifts in our church. And it's why it's important that we, as a church, find those of like faith. Open ourselves up to the will of God and let God bring. You know, Cove brothers and sisters, there could be a holiness church 2 hours from here that somebody has the gift of the prophet that could help us. But yet we could be a church here that has the gift of the teacher that could help somebody else. The body of Christ. We need to pray about these things. You say, Brother Derek, how are you going to give an altar call about this? I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. Pray for the church. Pray for the will of God in your own life. And let me ask you this. God has given us each a gift. It may not be one of these, but God has given us each a gift. Are you in the will of God? And are you using the gifting in which God has given you? Can we pray today? Find your place to pray. We appreciate you being here. God bless you. And I trust God's done something through His Word for you. Amen, amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.